Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time, 1 p.m. on a Thursday here in mid-Michigan. It is November 15th. 2018, halfway through the month of November. Can you believe that? Now, I know it's a bit cold and it's like a rain and snow mix outside right now, but it is always 80 degrees and sunny right here on WKAR's Current Sports. We've got a sizzling hot show coming your way, one that will be filled with a ton of discussion. Want to give you my takeaways on what took place last night, as the Michigan State men's basketball team was able to get its second win of the regular season, defeating Louisiana Monroe. This was not easy. I tell you what, for those who watched the first half, I mean, you're probably losing your mind, because Michigan State just could not find the bottom of the basket. But to begin the second half, it was the Cassius Winston show. He basically took over and said, just give me the basketball, everybody else get out the way, and I will lead us to a dub. And that's exactly what happened, all right? Also, we have an unfortunate injury that also happened on the court last night. Michigan State, one of Michigan State's most important players. I'll tell you who that is in a moment, courtesy of our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Also, as many of you know now, former Michigan State running back great, now running back great in the National Football League, who has decided to sit out the entire season with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell. Again, he didn't show up on Tuesday, deciding to forfeit $14.5 million. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are now moving on. They actually raided Le'Veon Bell's locker, which is pretty funny, I must say. I guess Le'Veon, he left some cleats there. He left a CD. I don't know what kind of CD it was. Maybe it was one of his, because he is a lot of people forget Le'Veon Bell is also a hip-hop artist. Maybe it was one of his cuts from that. some other items as well, but the Steelers, I guess you can say former teammates now. I don't think that you can say that Le'Veon is a part of this team anymore. And, you know, he won't be rocking the black and the gold come next year. So his former teammates raided his locker a little bit. That was kind of funny. Also, I finally want to touch upon this old Draymond Green story and this beef that he has with his teammate in Kevin Durant. And then to close out the hour, we will have Throwback Thursday for you all. So if you would like to be a part of the hour, you know that number. Again, you probably have it on speed dial, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to dial. You can check out the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you already commenting on that video. Deborah, how you doing? Also, you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's get you caught up on what is the latest news here in local sports and beyond. It is your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. started, we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team in action last night against the University of Louisiana Monroe. Junior guard Cassius Winston scored 18 of his team-high 23 points in the second half as number 11 MSU pulled away from Louisiana Monroe to an 80-59 win last night here in East Lansing after shooting only 28.2% from the floor in the first half. I kid you not, folks. Michigan State, 11 of 39, including just 10% from three-point land, 2 of 19. The Spartans connected on 54% of their second half shots, going 17 of 31 and shooting 40% from three-point land, 4 of 10. We'll have a recap of last night's Michigan State win in just a moment. Also, a pretty surprising blowout win for John Beilein's Michigan Wolverines on the hardwood last night. And now joining me to give us an update on that, we have current sports PA and reporter Justin Frommer in the his house. Justin, happy Thursday to you, my man.
Happy Thursday, Alan. Michigan, man, did they look good yesterday.
They did.
18th-ranked Wolverines go into Villanova and stealing a bit of the revenge tour slogan that the football team is going with. And
they're using that?
But
this kind of goes right, along with the mantra, right? I get it.
Fox Sports' Twitter handles loved using it last night on social media. But in a national championship rematch, Wolverines go into Villanova and wipe them off their own floor, 73-46. Charles Matthews, he's going to be an NBA talent, team high, 19 points. And Ignas Brazdeikis, do not forget this name. This is a freshman from Lithuania. He scored 18 points last night. He scored double digits points in all three of the Wolverines games so far this year. He will be a thorn in opponent's side throughout the season. The Wolverines forced 21 turnovers and scored 25 points off those turnovers. That's really been the mantra behind Beilein in his tenure at Michigan, is these Michigan teams are always very stout defensively, especially with Xavier Simpson. And I guess the question that I had coming out of this game, I don't know if you wanted to comment it as well, is does this say more about what Michigan's going to be this year or what Villanova's going to be? Because Villanova lost a ton of talent last year.
They did.
Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, Omari Spellman, all one-and-done players. DiVincenzo and Spellman, they were both underclassmen, so they could have been back this year. Jalen Brunson, who was the consensus National College Player of the Year last year, he was a second-round pick.
Right.
So that's a lot of star power off this team. So does that... Was the performance that last night, does that say more of what Villanova is going to be compared, not to discredit what Michigan did?
When you look at this, I mean, Villanova still has that number 8 next to his name for a reason. I think when you look at Villanova, even though they did lose those said players you just mentioned, including DiVincenzo, who was fantastic in a national championship game, the cupboard is not bare for the Wildcats. This speaks to John Beilein's philosophy of defense. And this is something that, when you think of John Beilein's teams, they haven't been defensive juggernauts, Justin. What surprised me was just how they were able to lock down Villanova. That was the key here. I mean, the defense from the guards especially, you mentioned Simpson. I mean, Matthews was great as well. I watched the post-game press conference last night after that win, and there was a moment where John Beilein is asked about the defense of his team, and he just kind of leans back in his chair. And I believe it's Matthews and Simpson sitting on both sides of him. And he just pats them both on the back and says, it's the defense of these guys. And you saw Matthews, as soon as he said that, Matthews kind of smirked and just kind of put his hand on his face like, yeah. They pride themselves on defense. So I think this speaks volumes to just how good of a Michigan team this is. And again, you mentioned the secret weapon for the maize and blue of this team. Brazdeikis is going to be the secret weapon for this team. I'm with you there, Justin. This is going to be a name that people will get very familiar with as the year moves along. But, you know, looking at that performance and looking at the 18 next to the Michigan name, no. That's going to go up after this week for sure. All right. The Michigan Wolverines, very impressive stuff. All right. Michigan State men's soccer, number 22 ranked MSU men's soccer, returns to the NCAA tourney for the third time in the last 4 years, hosting UIC tonight at 7 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. This is the third straight season that MSU has hosted an NCAA game. The winner will advance to the second round. As, you know, whoever wins, hopefully Michigan State, will take on number 4 seed Louisville on the road this Sunday
in Louisville, Kentucky. So a big matchup for Damon Rensing's team tonight. Go out and support them. Again, the NCAA tourney right here in East Lansing for MSU men's soccer. Also want to note that Okemos senior Leah Hartman signed with Northwestern's women's basketball program yesterday afternoon at Okemos High School. Hartman was among several senior high school athletes from the Lansing area to sign with schools yesterday. But I want to give a big shout out to Leah because she's been on the show multiple times. I mean, heck, we profiled her when she was just a freshman with the Chiefs at Okemos, and to see her blossom into the player that she has become, I think she's going to do some great things now with the Wildcats come next year. And what a homecoming it was for Dwayne Casey. I was glued to my television last night watching this. Reggie Bullock hit the game winner on a runner off an inbounds play at the buzzer to give the Pistons a 106-104 dub. Detroit overcame a 19-point second half deficit behind Blake Griffin's 30 points. Langston Galloway added 13. And how about Stanley Johnson, who hit two clutch corner threes in that game as well? Here is George Blaha on the call with the Bullock buzzer beater that won it.
Trying to win it in regulation. Reggie Bullock got it. He scores as time runs out. The Pistons mob Reggie B and Dwayne Casey. Every one of these players feel how much they care about Dwayne Casey, and they get him a win. Reggie Bullock, as time runs out, brings the biggest basket of the ball game.
This may be the gutsiest Pistons win that I've seen in a long time, George.
Of course, that other voice you heard was Greg Kelser, Special K, and I'm with Greg there. I mean, that was an incredibly gutsy win. And Justin, you mentioned revenge tour. I mean, Dwayne Casey let go by the Toronto Raptors after the season that he had last year. Only in the NBA does the reigning coach of the year lose his job. The Pistons got a steal in acquiring Dwayne Casey. So I can only imagine that Dwayne looked at this game pretty personal for him, without a doubt. And to get a win in this fashion, it had to feel good. Did you see that last night?
Well, I didn't watch much of the game. Obviously, I was covering the Michigan State game, but
right.
This win meant more than just Dwayne Casey's homecoming. But with a team that the Pistons were struggling a little bit this past couple week, they started off with high with 4-0, dropped to about 6-6. And to get that win on the road against arguably the best team in the East, one of the top three or four teams in the NBA.
Definitely.
This team's making strides. That's not a win that the Pistons get a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Without a doubt. I mean, 19 points down in the second half. I mean, if this was the team last year, they wouldn't have come back to win that game. And I also want to give a big shout-out to Reggie Jackson, who played well in that game as well, and a well-drawn-up play to free Reggie for what was really kind of like a touch jump shot that he had to the left of the basket. So the Pistons now are off until Monday night when they host the struggling Cleveland Cavaliers. And speaking of the Cavs, former Cavalier LeBron James, he passed Wilt Chamberlain, another all-time great who joined the Los Angeles Lakers in the latter stages of his career, for fifth place now on the NBA's all-time scoring list last night against the Portland Trailblazers. James tied Wilt to Stilt on an and-one runner with 3:55 left in the fourth quarter and passed him on the ensuing free throw. James finished the game with 44 points, his first 40-point game of the year, and the most by a Laker since Kobe Bryant scored 60 in his career finale. And he now has 31,425 points on his career. Shout out to LeBron James there. Also, the Winged Wheel in action tonight. The Detroit Red Wings, Justin.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering where this Red Wings team was at the beginning of the season, because this is just a totally different team that we saw through compared to the first couple weeks of the season. The Red Wings have won 7 of their last 8 games. They're on a 4-game winning streak. They head to Canada tonight to take on the Senators. Puck drop slated for 7:30. Dylan Larkin, who's having a great year, 7 goals, 8 leads the team, 18 points leads the team. Still early right now, only 20 games into the season right now, but the Wings are only 3 3 points off of a wild card spot in the standings. And a week ago, I mean, we didn't think that was even going to be possible.
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's so crazy. We were talking about this on yesterday's show, and Jack Kerwin, behind the glass, engineer of Current Sports for today. Jack is kind of changing his tune now when it comes to the Wings. There's a little bit of hope. We're starting to see some life here. Let's see how it plays out though in the next few weeks, though, Jack. Right?
Well, you know what? I'm not looking so negatively at the winning streak at this point. I'm just kind of taking it in stride, is what I'd say. I have absolutely no expectation that this is a playoff team, but you know what? The young kids are kind of driving the bus, so You know, I can't be too mad at them winning 7 of 8.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, this is great experience for them, and we'll see what happens again as the year rolls along. All right, as I mentioned, Le'Veon Bell, he will not play for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season, or likely ever again. Let's keep it all the way real, right? After he missed Tuesday's 4 p.m. deadline to report with the team. Now, while the Steelers had kept Bell's locker saved all year, the missed deadline officially meant it was time to move on. Some players didn't exactly continue the courtesy of keeping Bell's locker the way he left it. After yesterday's practice, Steelers players removed Bell's nameplate, then raided the contents of his locker, personal items, shoes, clothing, all being divided amongst the team. The pettiness is definitely off the charts. We'll have more on that story later on this hour. And also, the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks in action on Thursday Night Football, Justin.
Yeah, this is going to be a big game in regards to both these teams needing a win to stay alive in the playoff hunt. The Packers right now sit at 4-4-1, Seahawks at 4-5, and really neither of these teams can afford to take another loss here. Because that, with the way some of these teams are starting to rise up midway through the year.
Definitely.
Just falling to 4-5, 4-6, that's going to leave you a pretty steep hill to climb to climb into the wild card conversation. The Seahawks lost to the Chargers last week, but they've been playing, in my opinion, some pretty good football. They're getting healthier. They're getting much better run production from Chris Carson. Rashad Penny, the rookie from San Diego State, had somewhat of a breakout week last week against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And Tyler Lockett scoring pretty much every week right now at wide receiver. The Packers got Aaron Jones. They're starting to use him more at running back. He's starting to emerge. But the question is, can this wide receiver core make enough plays? This isn't the Legion of Boom that we've had in the past with the Seahawks defense in their secondary, but they ranked 7th in the league right now in total passing defense. So can Rodgers make enough plays, and can these receivers make enough plays against an improved secondary with the Seahawks?
I think these are two evenly matched teams here. I think this is going to be a good game. It's going to be very close, and it's always must-see TV anytime Aaron and Russell Wilson, for that matter, are on the football field going at it. So Packers, Seahawks tonight. I believe that game is at what time? 7 or 8?
8 o'clock, I believe.
8 o'clock?
Yep.
8 o'clock. Enjoy that one. That should be fun. All right, that wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Michigan State men's basketball with a win over Louisiana Monroe last night at the Breslin Center. No, it was not pretty to start, at least. As Michigan State men's basketball, they just could not put the ball in the basket. It's simple as that. And, you know, Michigan State just kept shooting over and over and over. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, wait, would somebody just drive the basketball? You know, if you're not hitting from deep, go to the lane. Try and get points in other ways. And Michigan State, it was really bad in that first half. So for those who did not get a chance to check it out, it was not televised. You had to have a BTN Plus account in order to watch that game, done courtesy of Michigan State's Student U broadcast. So if you weren't at the game, just had to follow us on Twitter and follow it that way, the various beat writers and those who were at the game covering it. That's how you would have to kind of, you know, keep updated as to last night's action. But, you know, at halftime, Michigan State only had, it was 35-29, only a 6-point lead for the Spartans at halftime. And it was at the beginning of that second half when Michigan State really began to open it up, again, courtesy of Cassius Winston. But, you know, you look at the numbers in this game, you know, as I mentioned in the headliners, I mean, Michigan State shot 40% from the floor, which is definitely the improvement from the first half where they shot 28% in the first half, 11 of 39. Just a lot of jump shots, a lot of threes that clanked the iron or just were completely airballed. I mean, Foster Lawyer, who is a really good shooter, by the way, I mean, Foster had a three-pointer on the left wing that just totally didn't hit anything. Air ball that went out of bounds. I don't know what was up with Michigan State in that first half, but it was bad. And again, just 10% from three-point land. Michigan State shot 19 threes in that first half, only made two of them. So that just kind of puts in perspective just how bad the shooting was for Michigan State in the first. And then you add to the fact that Nick Ward was injured pretty early in this game as well. I mean, Nick Ward went down, and you immediately saw him just writhe in pain. He actually took his fist and pounded the hardwood. And when you see a reaction like that, you think it's pretty serious, right? And it took some time to get up, and then he just kind of hobbles to the locker room, didn't go to the bench, went immediately to the locker room. And really, you didn't know what the diagnosis was at first. You know, reporters asking the SIDs and the team, what's going on? Is Nick okay? Is he healthy? And then the SID eventually let the media know that it was a lower leg injury. Couldn't provide specifics, though. That was pretty broad. And then Tom Izzo comes out in the postgame presser and announces that it is a right ankle sprain for Nick Ward. So just a sprained ankle, low ankle sprain, cool, because we all know high ankle sprains are just, those things can linger, all right? But a low ankle sprain is something that you should be just giving a big sigh of relief upon hearing, Spartan fans, because this means that Nick will be fine. All right, he was shut down for the rest of the game after just playing 5 minutes when he went down with that injury. And Michigan State, again, it's Louisiana Monroe. Even though it was very close to start, again, only a 6-point lead for the Spartans. As I like to say in games like this, the cream is going to rise to the top. And Michigan State's cream certainly did in the second half as Cassius Winston. And this is something I haven't seen a lot of from Cassius, if at all, really. Cassius basically taking upon that role of the guy, as the man, the number one scoring option for Michigan State. He came out in that second half and, you know, he got it warmed up a bit, you know, just taking the ball to the rack. Riddle me that, right? If your jump shot isn't falling, how about driving the basketball? That's what Cassius was able to do. Took his man off the dribble and got to the rack for some nice scores. And he, you know, we all know how great of a shooter Cassius is. Cassius hit a couple threes as well. I believe he scored something like 11 points in the span of like 2 minutes in the second half. Pretty amazing what Cash was able to do. He cashed in for Michigan State, and they began to just slowly but surely extend that lead. 23 points for Cassius Winston. He led the team there. Joshua Langford behind Cassius, going 7 of 15 from the floor. His game really opened up in the second half. 16 points for him. 2 of 8 from three-point land. And then you had the rest of the starters. Again, I mentioned Nick Ward. He goes out early, only plays 5 minutes, 4 points for him. Cueto, Matt McQuaid, he played 30 minutes and had 0 points. 0 for 6 for Matt McQuaid. He just could not shoot the basketball last night. It was that kind of a night for Matt McQuaid. Kenny Goins, One for seven from the floor, 0 for 2 from three-point land. He finished with 6 points. So there were three Spartans, though, who were able to accrue double digits in the point column. So other than Langford and Winston, that third player was Xavier Tillman, who came in and held down the fort in light of the unfortunate absence of Nick Ward. He played 18 minutes. He was 4-5 from the floor, 11 points for him. He also had 13 rebounds. Also a big shout-out, even though Kenny Goins didn't light up the scoring column or any other column for that matter, he did in the rebounding column. He had 15 rebounds. So a game like this, you know, Michigan State can't come out and struggle shooting-wise like this against some of the big dogs in college hoops. What I did love, though, was Cassius Winston taking charge and showing some leadership, realizing the moment. Hey, my teammates don't have it. I am going to make something happen here. It's so interesting watching Cassius play, too, because, you know, I always talk about the size of Cassius Winston. You know, he you know, looking at his body type, he isn't that tall, not that muscular. But Cassius is a very smart basketball player. He can shoot the blood out of the basketball. I mean, looking at how his jump shot has improved, especially looking at, you know, from his freshman campaign to his sophomore campaign, he became one of the best deep shooters in all of college basketball. And again, his court vision, off the charts. Off the charts, but three assists for Cassius, not going to get the job done. So it was a weird night. That's how I can, if I had to choose a word to describe this game for Michigan State, it was just plain weird. You won't see, knock, knock, knock on wood, you won't see Michigan State shoot this badly from here on out. 28% from the floor, 10% from deep. I mean, credit to Louisiana Monroe, too. I don't think I'm giving him enough credit when I'm, you know, going on this rant here. I thought that Louisiana Monroe did a pretty good job defensively to start. Guys like, you know, again, players you've never heard of, but Michael Ertl, he was pretty impressive in that game. Ertl was 7-14 from the floor. He had 20 points. And then also, J.D. Williams was big in this game as well. He had 25 points, 7-17 from the floor. Those were your two big horses for Louisiana Monroe that made things just really a living hell for Michigan State to start that game. One thing that you can criticize Cassius Winston on is his defense. Again, Cassius Winston has to become a better defender because Ertl was able to get some clean looks. He was able to drive here and there. Even on Louisiana Monroe's misses, if you looked at that game, even the misses that Louisiana Monroe had, they were good looks. Michigan State defensively has to become better, and that is something to look to now, seeing as though the Spartans, it doesn't get easier now, especially, again, you play Louisiana Monroe. It certainly doesn't get easy as Michigan State will now play in the Las Vegas Invitational, and they now have a date with the Tennessee Tech Golden Eagles. So, and also, I want to get this off my chest too. You know, one thing that I don't understand when you talk about the injury to Nick Ward, again, a low ankle sprain for Nick Ward, something that he will clearly recover from. Why don't players rock high tops anymore? I just don't get it. I mean, every time I, even in the NBA, you know, with the exception of a few like LeBron James, at least rocks, you know, some mid-tops. You know, that was a big thing for me. I went through this phase when I was playing and growing up west side of Detroit. You know, we used to play at St. Suzanne High School all the time. And, you know, I would always sprain my ankle because I would wear these low tops all the time. I remember specifically, I used to, you know, Allen Iverson was one of my favorite players growing up. And I remember rocking the AIs when they first came out. My mom had got them for me, and they were low tops, really low tops. And I remember like the first three times I went out and played with them, I sprained my ankle like twice. And for anybody who sprained their ankle, you know how much that hurts. I mean, it is not a great feeling. And after that, I vowed I would never rock. I would never play in low tops ever again. But I still like the Iverson shoes because they were pretty hot, I must say. So my mom, what she did was, all right, well, we'll get you some ankle braces then, and you'll rock those. And I used to rock ankle braces all the time, and it just limits the probability of you spraining your ankle. So it amazes me how a guy like Nick Ward and how various players, most players that you see on any given night in the world of basketball, whether it be at the high school ranks, to college, to the pros, how so many guys, especially in the pros and in college ranks, some of the big-time players in college ranks, I mean, when you have so much money on the line, you're willing to just go out there and rock low tops on a regular basis. I just had to get it off my chest because, you know, watching Nick Ward, I think a lot of these ankle sprains and ankle injuries that we see in the game today can be prevented by just not rocking low-top shoes on the court. So I just want to just let that be known as well. All right, Justin, you were there, and you covered that game. Am I wrong in saying that, dude? It amazes me how many guys rock low-top shoes, dude. But anyway, your thoughts and takeaways, man.
Yeah, obviously Cassius Winston in that first spurt in the second half was the story of the game.
It was impressive, man.
It was.
I haven't seen that from Cassius.
Right.
I mean, just give me the basketball. Everybody else, clear out. It was really just iso ball with Cassius, and he made things happen time and time again, and that really stretched that lead.
But I think the bigger story of this, and you touched on him, but I think he had a bigger performance than maybe even Tom Izzo credits in to have, was Xavier Tillman. Mm-hmm. Because I thought he gave a glimpse of the future post Nick Ward. Let's be honest, Nick Ward's not going to be here next year. He's going to go to the NBA.
Right.
And Tillman, I thought he did a great job in almost every aspect of the game. He scored 11 points. That's a career high, by the way. That's the first time.
Those 11 points are a career high for Tillman.
That is a career high. 13 rebounds. That's a career high. That's a double-double, his first career double-double. He also looked good passing the ball in the post. There was one play. He got the ball down on the baseline going against the zone. Kenny Goins cut right to the middle, and he found him right away on a touch pass. I mean, he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this is not really a breakout game, but I think this was a real glimpse of what he's going to be for Michigan State.
Definitely. And Tillman also even took a three-pointer last night. And that's something that, you know, Xavier, I remember on media day, he's been working on that deep shot, but I don't know how again, he missed it, but I don't know how much we'll see Xavier really light it up from deep. He's not going to light it up from deep, but yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, Tillman coming in after watching Nick Ward go down, and just basically stepping up, next man up mentality, right? 11 points, 13 boards for him. I believe he was the only Spartan who did have a double-double last night. That's pretty impressive, and I'm glad that you highlighted that, for sure. So, Michigan State moving forward now. I do want to say this as well. You know, doing some research on Tennessee Tech, even though Tennessee Tech has not won a game yet. You know, they lost to Memphis to open up the year. That was a 76-61 final. Then in the second game, they play Presbyterian, and they lose 80-65 in that game. And the latest loss comes against Savannah State, the Tigers. That was a 97-83 win in favor of the Tigers. This Tennessee Tech team has some talent on it. And on tomorrow's Current Sports, I'll go into more depth when it comes to the Tennessee Tech roster. I just don't want Michigan State fans to look at Tennessee Tech and say, all right, another walk in the park, because I don't think that's truly going to be the case when it comes to this matchup next week. So your thoughts, though, if you were able to check it out last night, if you were at the game, and again, it wasn't televised, if you were able to tune in on BTN Plus, I want to hear your thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I want to hit our first break right now. When we come back, I do want to talk about how the game is changing in the college ranks, because to go back to Sunday after the Michigan State men's basketball win over Florida Gulf Coast, Tom Izzo had a pretty epic rant about how the game is changing and his displeasure of it, all right? Kind of sounds like the get off my lawn old guy, but he has a valid point when discussing the modern day game. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up some thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball and the Spartans' win over Louisiana Monroe last night at the Breslin Center. A close affair in that first half. MSU with a six-point lead at halftime, and then Cassius Winston kind of led the charge in the second. Michigan State able to pull away for a dub, and now Michigan State will get ready to take on Tennessee Tech. So, I want to revisit something right now. Before I do that, on tomorrow's Current Sports, you definitely want to tune in because, of course, we will be previewing the next matchup for your Michigan State football team as Nebraska will play host to Michigan State. Nebraska is a team that sits at 3-7 on the year, 2-5 in the Big Ten Conference, and as we all know, Michigan State 6-4, 4-3 in the Big Ten Conference. That will be a noon kickoff. The line right now is in favor of the Spartans by just 2 points, and Nebraska is coming off a 54-35 dub over the dreadful Lovie Smith-led Illinois, finding Illini. 54-35 the final one now. And in the week prior to, though, Nebraska was able to give Ohio State a bit of a run for its money. 36-31 the final in that game. So I just want to know, because, again, the line is so small here. I mean, when you talk about a two-point swing in favor of Michigan State, that's not much. Basically telling everyone that this is kind of a toss-up. So I want to know from our listeners out there just how confident you are in this Michigan State football team right now. How confident are you that Michigan State is going to get the job done on the road, noon kickoff against Nebraska in 2 days? 517-355 WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, what I want to do right now is play some audio from Tom Izzo's press conference, not from last night. Tom was pretty chill last night, despite the close victory that was Louisiana Monroe. He was pretty calm, especially calm in comparison to his post-game presser on Sunday evening as Michigan State beat Florida Gulf Coast. That was a 106-82 final. But Izzo was not happy with one thing, and that is how the game is being called today. And in comparison to what happened on Sunday, we saw the same thing happen last night where a player actually undercut a Spartan hooper, and that player was tossed out the game. It was a flagrant two, and that is how the referees, that is how the officials are trained to call the game today. I mean, if you see an undercut, it's automatically going to be perceived as dirty. And that flagrant, too, was called on Louisiana Monroe's Tyree White. And White was ejected. And we saw the same thing happen on Sunday when the Spartans took on Florida Gulf Coast. There was an undercut that happened to Nick Ward. I forget who the player was on Sunday that undercut Nick Ward. He came crashing to the floor. The referees went to the monitor, called it a flagrant two, and that player also got the boot. That led, along with the fact that there were probably 4 or 5 stoppages in that game on Sunday that lasted anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, that led Tom Izzo to kind of go on a rant about how it's impossible to play physical, hard-nosed defense in today's college hoop game. Heck, it's impossible to do that at the next level as well, in the NBA. I'm an avid NBA fan. And the game now, the way the game is officiated now, is catered to the offensive player. It really is. You can't bump the offensive player. You know, if you make any contact at all, you know, you're going to get a whistle. The physical game, the physical play that we saw back in the 80s, you know, Jordan driving to the lane and Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer, Joe Dumars hammering Jordan as he went to the lane. You can't do that stuff anymore. I mean, you will get kicked out of the game if you do that stuff today. And the NCAA this year is putting an emphasis on, quote, freedom of movement. That's what they're calling it. The college game wants to see more scoring. And heck, you know, to also adhere to that philosophy, it's why the shot clock was shaved off 5 seconds as well. And, you know, that allows for, or hopefully that's what the college game is hoping for. That allows for a more fast-paced game. They're trying to mimic what the NBA game is becoming now. And it is a bit annoying. You know, when you see the amount of stoppages that we saw against Florida Gulf Coast and the Spartans, there were a couple last night. It is frustrating, and it led to these very candid thoughts from Izzo on Sunday night.
Kind of disappointed, if you want the truth. Frustrated by how we played, but I'm really frustrated and feel sympathy, if you want the truth, and I swear to God to this. I felt bad for our fans, felt bad for their team, felt a little bad for our team, and I felt really bad for the officials. And I've been here 24 years as a head coach. I'm not sure I ever felt bad for an official. The way they got him calling this game right now, to me, is as ridiculous as me having to wear glasses to read the damn deal. And I am upset about it. Every run that goes, you know, we're going to start playing. We might as well play, I don't know, might as well get 5 years old out there and just belly bump. I mean, we can't. You can't do anything right now. I mean, people can complain about a call. Sad part is the guy's complaining that Nick hit him and then he gets nailed and thrown out. I mean, and remember this now. So do not make a mistake on this. The poor officials are mandated. If they don't call it this way, they don't work the NCAA tournament. But the stoppage of action in that game made it the most boring game, which we scored 106 points, which wasn't good. We took 77 shots, so it might be a record. We did some good things at times, but every time there was any flow to that game, I feel bad for our fans. Our players got to learn how to deal with it, but I feel bad for the officials. And I don't know, maybe thunder and lightning will hit me tonight going home, because just not very often I do, but honest to God. And they just sat there and tried to explain to both coaches, and I just quit talking, and it wasn't them. I watch games on TV. I see the same thing. So that's my commercial. I'm done with Twitter. Now I'm a member of the officials union, and I'm going to stick up for them. But that it should have nothing to do with us turning the ball over the way we did. We just, every time we got going, there's something stopped. Somebody complained. Somebody did this. And they have to. Did you hear me? Have to do that. They should put monitors up there as big as the scoreboard. So, because it's hard to see those monitors, I sympathize with those poor guys. And if somebody thinks I'm being sarcastic, I'm not. I'm not. As far as my team goes, we're having trouble guarding anybody. Okay, we give up 92 and 82. And we got some guys in this team that think we can outscore people. And we can when the teams aren't good enough. But as the teams get better, we will not outscore people. Evident the other night. So 16 more turnovers. Yeah, we got a couple at the end with some different players in there. But we did a poor job in the second half with the turnovers. I thought Nick did a pretty good job getting to the foul line. Josh did an incredible job rebounding the ball. Other than that, I thought we missed some wide open shots, but you can't complain about the shots. I just didn't like the way they must have had 5 3-point play finishes the old-fashioned way. Foul them on the way in. 5 steps behind them. So tomorrow, we're going to go old school. Maybe, just maybe, I'll call D'Antonio and borrow some things tomorrow. But I'll take questions. I'm not going to be satisfied with anything this year. We're going back to the way it's supposed to be. Guys can be accountable, and people got to be accountable. And I feel damn sorry for our people because we didn't play very good the second half, people meaning our fans, and they had to sit through time after time, and it's ridiculous. So there. Hope it's worth $10,000.
Tom, in the first half, I don't know if you remember this play now. You're upset about the other stuff, but Nick had an inside opportunity, and he dished it out for a three. That's a pass he would not have made last year. Is that what you were talking about, things you saw from him this summer, his evolution?
Well, I think, Nick, they only had him down. Well, they had him down for 4 assists, and that's a career. Not a career high. That's a career. Okay? Add it up. And I am proud of Nick. I'm proud of him that he got to the line. For some reason, you know, I'm going to explain everything this year because I'm in a better mood to explain things. If anybody watched Nick, the start of the second half, he was in there a minute and a half, and DJ said, we got to get him out. It wasn't because he was screwing up. He was just so tired. So he plays 22 and a half minutes. And I wanted to play him 28-30. So we got to figure out that. But you're right. Nick made some great passes out of there. I thought early he had a stretch where he was trying to put shots up against 3 guys, got a couple of them blocked. But if you look at the change from the Kansas game when he never threw it out to that game, significant, significant improvement.
Fiery, to say the least. Tom Izzo. After the win over Florida Gulf Coast 106-82 on Sunday night, and I'm 1,000% with Izzo on this topic. I have been saying this for years. Sure, I know the game is changing. The way it's played is changing on so many different levels. I mean, offensively, I mean, heck, I can't play pickup basketball nowadays without going to the gym and somebody believing in some delusion that they are the second coming of Steph Curry. Just jacking up threes left and right. It gets really annoying. I mean, heck, a few months ago, because I'm pretty fiery when I'm on the basketball court. for those that don't know, I mean, I'm happy-go-lucky, optimistic Al here on Current Sports. But, man, on the basketball court, I kind of transform. And this guy just kept jacking up threes every time we would come down the floor, and we got into almost like a verbal altercation. It gets frustrating seeing guys who are not even close to the talent of a pro just think that they could do what they see on television, where the game is becoming a jump shooting 3-point game today. And heck, we saw it last night. I think Michigan State was kind of a victim of new basketball last night. Michigan State just continuing to jack up three after three after three, which you don't normally see with a Tom Izzo team. Totally abandoning going to the lane and trying to get fouled or trying to make things happen in other ways, the mid-range game or going to the lane. I just, you know, again, Michigan State, you know, 11 of 39, he took 19 threes in that first half. But defense, you know, the way the game is being called now, it caters again to the offensive player, making it virtually impossible to play legit hard and physical defense. That is now gone. Physicality and defense don't go in the same sentence together when discussing basketball today. And it's a bit unfortunate. And it's why we see regular scores in the pros of over 100 points. It's why we see regular scores in the college game as well become ballooned. It's truly amazing. I mean, hey, we saw Duke in that season opener score over 100 points against Kentucky. Kentucky, not historically a defensive juggernaut, period. But still, you get my drift here. So I don't know how you play defense nowadays. And that is what Tom Izzo, that is what frustrates him, because Tom Izzo's great teams of the past have been defensive, just unreal on that end of the floor. Just defensive experts. But you can't do that nowadays. I don't know. So also, I do want to note two other things in that press conference you just heard. Tom Izzo is, I think Tom, and I don't know how you couldn't hear the criticism last year, but Tom certainly heard the criticism last year. And I think that the Syracuse loss has motivated him to push himself even further than what we've seen in the past. Just the one-liner of, I'm not satisfied, and I'm not going to be satisfied with anything this year. I think that's a play off of what happened last season. Another first weekend loss to Syracuse. He is not going to be satisfied with anything. And also, maybe a jab at those who criticized what happened against Syracuse. Quote, I'm going to explain everything this year. Because many weren't happy with his explanation or lack thereof when it came to not playing Jaren Jackson Jr. in favor of Ben Carter in crunch time against the Orange defense. At least that's what I got when I was listening to Tom Izzo. All right. I do want to hit a brief second break here. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit this brief final break, and when we come back, we'll only have, what, you know, like less than 5 minutes left. We'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. All right, to close out the hour, we do have a phone call here, as we have just about 4 minutes left. John from Jackson wants to weigh in on Spartan hoops. John, what's up, my man?
Well, not necessarily Spartan hoop, but just hoop in general.
Okay.
I've got a couple of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ironic that they have more freedom of movement now, and they still want to shoot outside shots instead of going inside. That makes no sense.
Right. That's a good point, John. It's a really good point.
No sense, because you could just be on the foul line all night, the way they call it. So
right, right.
It's just ironic that there's more freedom, but they still don't want to go inside. It's such a soft game today. That's why it's hard for me to watch too much pro basketball. I mean, I'm a Piston fan, and I watch most of those games, but I won't just watch New York against Orlando game. Just, you know, I'd rather do something else.
It's right, just, right.
The game just isn't the same. And the ironic thing is, when I played basketball in high school, before the three-point line came into rule, and we averaged more then than they do now. Without the three-pointer.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
It tells you that you got a lot of amateurs thinking that they're the next Steph Curry, just chucking up threes left and right. I hear you, John.
High school, I mean, the coaches are, you know, they that's how they coach now. And I think these teams would score more points if they didn't shoot so many three-pointers.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a lost art. The mid-range game is a lost art, and just I'm going to take you off the dribble and get to the lane. That's becoming a lost art as well. Everybody wants to shoot threes now, and I think that was some of the feedback when Nick Ward dipped his toe into the NBA draft lottery or the NBA draft period. He got the feedback that he has to become a better shooter, because if you are even a big man now, gone is the true center. You can't just camp in the lane anymore. You have to be able to shoot the basketball, John.
But does he even attempt a 10- or 12-footer? Rarely, does he?
I haven't seen it this season yet,
yeah.
But don't count that out. I think we'll see it as the year goes along.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks.
All right, John from Jackson, appreciate the call. All right, as we come up now on just under 2 minutes, gosh, I keep pushing this whole Le'Veon Bell Steelers conversation. I don't know how many of you want to listen to that anyway. I mean, bottom line, Le'Veon Bell, he feels like he deserves more than what the Steelers offered him. I don't know if he's going to get the money that he wants, but he is no longer with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But just have thoughts on how he's handled this whole thing. And I'll weigh in. I'll try to weigh in on this whole Draymond Green and Kevin Durant drama as well. But tomorrow, the centerpiece of the show will be, of course, Michigan State football as Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans try to dust off the shoulders, you know, and get up off the mat and now look ahead to playing Nebraska at noon on the road. You'll hear thoughts on that game. We'll probably also roll in a few snippets that we've accrued throughout the week when it comes to Michigan State, the players, as well as Coach D'Antonio. So Michigan State, Nebraska will be the foundation of tomorrow's show. And we'll also touch on briefly the Detroit Lions. All right. So don't miss it. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin, reminding you all, as always, to be easy, people.